We have arrived at that week. The rush is on. Everything's coming to a head, all the get-togethers and planning and shopping. A week from yesterday, it's coming Saturday, Christmas. But in the midst of it all, we gather this morning to celebrate that, what it's all about. And so welcome, to each of you as we gather this morning on this Christmas Sunday celebration. And we trust it's going to be a time of blessing and encouragement and challenge for all of us. To help us get into what the Lord would have for us this morning, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 this morning, if you're in need of a Bible, please raise your hand. We count it a privilege to pass the Bible over to you. And if you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours, of course. There's no charge or anything. But we all want to make sure we have our Bibles out and turn to Luke chapter 2. It does promise to be an awesome week. If your schedule allows, come on, join us as we celebrate midweek with all the kids singing, the Christmas medley and all. And then, of course, we move into Christmas Eve with the service then. Great to see all of you here. I've noticed both earlier service and this service. I see Paul join us and our missionaries back home, some of them visiting and all. We thank God for that. I see Scott's returned from his deployment and remind you of all the military. I thank God for each of you and for those deployed. Our hearts and prayers go out to all of those who are deployed now. And those of you who have loved ones deployed, our prayers are with you and all. But we thank God. We thank God for each of you and pray that we'll be an awesome, awesome Christmas. Well, let's dive in. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I was walking through our office this morning, and I noticed that we got a birth announcement. We have a dear family in the church, the Richter family, Ben and Jody and their family, and they are such a blessing to us and have served in many ways around here and all. And they just had a little one, and I saw the birth announcement in there, and little Levi and all, just cute little guy, cute little guy, cute stuff. And, of course, it has all the birth particulars and all. Birth announcements celebrate life, and they're very appropriate, very, very good for people to do that. To announce a birth. Well, in this morning's text, we have the heavenly birth announcement of Jesus. In our text this morning, we have basically God's take on who it is that's lying over there in the manger. And we have why he is there. You see, man had a need, and God has a gift, the only gift that will meet that need. Thus, there is a Christmas. Christmas isn't given by God that we might have a day off. God didn't look at us and say, "Man, they're really tired. They need a day off. I better come up with some way to get a holiday in there." That wasn't why there's a Christmas. God didn't look at us and say, "You know, they're way too hungry. Let's give them a day so they can sit around and pig out." I know he didn't say that. That's not why there's a Christmas. Christmas isn't even given just for the purpose of family and warm feelings and all. Though that's often a part of it, but that's not why there's a Christmas. No, far more than all those things. Our need and God's answer for that need are why there is that baby laying in the manger. It's His answer for our need that's wrapped up in those swaddling cloth that are lying there in the hay. And it really, you talk about a birth announcement, it's all focused right around verses 10 and 11 here. Let's look at it again. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's why there is a Christmas. So this morning, in all of its familiarity, I encourage you, don't assume, don't kick back, "Oh, I've heard it all, same old story." Let's not be in that danger or trap of, "Okay, well, I go to church, there'll be the Christmas story, we'll all feel good and leave," and miss what God would have for us. Because truly, it's God's love. His heart is why this gift is given. And it's to be received as such, personally, because of our needs. So let's hear it as such. And let's let it impact us afresh and anew this morning, just as He would have us do. I've called our time together this morning, "How Christmas Answers Our Fears." Let's pray. Father, as we gather, we thank You. We do thank You for family and friends. We thank You for those who are able to be home, be it those in the service, those who are serving You in terms of missionary work. Just thank You. We pray that they'll have an awesome time, Lord. But we think of those who aren't home. So we pray You'll minister to them where they are. May they have a real sense of Your purpose and Your presence and the gift of this Christmas and what it's about. Lord, as we do gather together, we recognize we gather in Your love. Help us to hear all this in a fresh way, Lord. To hear this as from Your heart to ours. You reaching out with the gift that we needed. So, Lord, help us this morning. And then change us. Minister, comfort, challenge, whatever You see needs. But Lord, don't let us come short of this awesome gift You have for everyone. So now speak to us, we pray, from Your heart to ours. In Jesus' name, amen. On this Sunday before Christmas, I want to invite you, let's go back. Let's travel back in time to that field outside Bethlehem. Let's picture the scene once again. The shepherds are going out. They're going about business as usual, taking care of the sheep and all there. But in the midst of that, see, as far as they know, it's a night like any other night. But in the midst of all that, an angel breaks through the quiet night. And the angel has a message that's going to change everything for them, change everything for us, change everything for everybody for all time. Let's read it, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." The shepherds were a group who would have spent a lot of time looking around. For that was their job. Part of their job was to protect the sheep. And so while the sheep are grazing or sleeping, it was their job, the shepherds, to keep an eye on things, huh? To look out for any potential threat. And so the shepherds were a group who would have spent a lot of time looking around, on guard for any problems. You know, we do the same thing a lot. We spend a lot of time looking around at our circumstances. We spend a lot of time looking around. What's going to happen? How's this going to end up? Where's this going to go? What about the economy? What about my health? We spend a lot of time looking around at our circumstances. Life kind of teaches us to do that. And it causes us to kind of be on guard, to look out for problems and all. But as we do that, as we spend a lot of time looking around our circumstances, because life can be tenuous to us, because tomorrow is the unknown to us, it can create fears. Looking around at circumstances can create fears. But notice for the shepherds, As they were busy looking around at their circumstances, God broke in from above. And the same is true for us. As we spend so much time looking around at our circumstances, God would want to break in from above in a fresh way for each of us. Right where we are, right in our struggles, right in our fears, just as we are, He wants to break through. And what's His message to them? Look at verse 10. The first thing the angel proclaims, do not be afraid. Now, the immediate context, of course, is that the shepherds were afraid of the angel, not your everyday occurrence. But the fear that God comes to heal runs far deeper than just that. See, these words were not meant only for trembling shepherds, but were intended for you and me also. Do not be afraid. Do you know the first time man was afraid? Do you know the first time it appears in the Bible when it says that man was afraid? You don't read it about Adam and Eve when they were in the garden having fellowship with God. But when do you read it? It enters the picture when sin entered the picture. For the Bible tells us that after Adam and Eve rebelled, sinned, did what God said not to do, it said God comes looking for them. And we read in Genesis 3:10 how Adam responds to God and he says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Now notice the correlation. The first time man became afraid was when separation occurred between man and God. Up until then, there was fellowship, communion. Man didn't walk around going, oh God, he's going to let the lions eat me? We don't read anything like that. No, what you read about is when sin occurred. When all of a sudden separation is there, I was afraid, Adam said. And down through the centuries, nothing has really changed. We are all at times tempted to fear. And that's even true during a season like this, during the Christmas season. A time that should be joyous, a time that should be happy and totally Christ-centered. Instead, for too many people, it's filled with fear. We fear not having enough money. We fear not meeting everyone's expectations. Indeed, just it goes on and on. The various temptations there are to become anxious and fearful. But now in the midst of this time, as the shepherds are afraid and all, it tells us that God burst through. God burst on the scene with His answer. And the first part of the message is, do not be afraid. The words fear or afraid appear over 360 times in our Bible. What's that tell us? It tells us that God knows us pretty well, of course. That God knows our tendency. It's towards anxiety, it's towards worry, it's towards fear. Because we do look around, we forget to look up, and we do let those circumstances begin to influence us. So much of our lives are lived in fear. Maybe one fear for one person, another type of fear for another, but they are there. Fear of death, fear of rejection, fear of not being loved. There's the fear of failure that many struggle with. There's the fear of loneliness that many struggle with. For some, there's the fear of meaninglessness, the fear of never really discovering have a purpose to life. There are health fears. There could be financial fears. Have I named you yet? No, don't raise your hand. That's okay. But unfortunately, the list can be a long one. But notice this. And now it moves to the heart of the Christmas message and why Christmas is God's answer to our fears. It is this. Of those 360 plus times of where God mentions fear or being afraid, as we search God's word, we find that God most often follows the fear nots or the do not be afraid with the assurance of His presence. Right after, so often we read something like, fear not, he'll say, I am with you. So I know your tendency to be afraid. I know your concerns, but don't be afraid, for I am with you. You see, his presence is God's cure for our fears. His presence is meant to answer our fears. That's why Christmas is the answer to our fears. For in Christmas we have what? God with us. Matthew 1:23 declares it. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. See, that's why it's so important. God has come that we might have that distance spanned, that we might come back into fellowship with him. And not only that, but then to know his continual presence in our lives, to strengthen, encourage, and guide, and all those things he's about. So his ultimate answer for our fears is his very presence, and what his presence ushers into our lives. That's the message of Christmas. God with us. And for us. Christmas's answer to our fears is what? Read next. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. That's the message. Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings. Good tidings, of course, means good news. Don't be afraid. Instead, I've got some good news for you. And it's the kind of news that's meant to provoke joy. No, more than that. Great joy. I bring you some good news of great joy. See, not fear, but joy. Not just joy, but great joy. Okay, Pastor, sounded pretty good so far. But on what basis? Wishful thinking? On what basis? Why is it going to be good news? Why is it going to be something that produces great joy? What is this awesome, awesome gift? Verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Take all this personal because he intends it to be. Because it says what? To you. There is born to you. It's for you. A Savior is born for you. So what's the good news? Not that God had sent a soldier who would go out and fight some kind of a physical battle for us. Not that God would have sent a judge, a reformer, some kind of political reformer. No, far beyond that. He sent a Savior to meet man's greatest need, whether man realizes it or not. His ultimate need and root and cause for fear is his separation from God. And so God came to span that gap. Don't get used to that. We're saturated with the gospel in a way, a lot of us, and this Christmas story all around us. Let it hit us again. God initiated the cure for what really ails us. The shepherds go from fear to joy. Why? Because God intervenes. God breaks through. And what was the message? He is for us. What if the angel had come along and said, burst through, big scene, better be afraid because I'm here to fry you. What a different thing. But it's exactly the opposite. Don't be afraid. I got good news. God's sending exactly what that's who's over there in the hay is the real cure for what you really need. That's going to cure the issue of sin, eternal life, and the fears and all that you face in life are wrapped up right there. Christmas is for us, born to you, a Savior. Now note the description it gives of Jesus there in verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Notice that description. Now it's interesting. In the Greek, Luke didn't use any articles to describe who Jesus is there. In the Greek, it reads like this, verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David, Savior Christ Lord." Just like that. Boom, boom, boom. Let me tell you who's over there in the manger. Savior Christ Lord. Now, each word there is vitally important for us if it's going to deal with our fears. First of all, of course, he's the Savior. It's a word that means deliverer, sent to deliver us from our sins. He's also the Christ. The Christ is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. It means he's the anointed one, capital O. He is the one sent from God. He's the Messiah. He's the deliverer. And Lord, of course, means supreme in authority. That is the second person of the Trinity lying over there. That is God there in the hay. But I zero in again for just a moment on that aspect of Savior, because Jesus did indeed come to set us free from our sin. His role as Savior was spelled out to Joseph, remember in Matthew 1:21, where Joseph is told, "You're going to give him the name Jesus," speaking of the baby that would be born, "because he will save his people from their sins." A baby on a mission to grow, to go to the cross, to pay for our sins, to rise again, conquering death, conquering sin. It's all part of the same package, so that we can sit here with certain things settled. What a gift. You're not going to find anything under the tree that compares to that one. What a gift that we can sit here knowing and resting in certain things, and someone to bring our very self to and our fears to. It's so important to remember that. He didn't come to establish a religion. You say, what's the birth of Christianity? No, it's the birth of Christ. He came for you. Him and you. Him. Personal. And that's the heart of Christmas. God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son. He didn't send a committee. He didn't send a substitute. Someone has said, and you've heard this before, but it's good to read it again. Someone has said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Amen. Now the world says, no, no, it's money. No, no, it's pleasure. That's really the need. No, the one who knows us, made us, he sees the core issue, and he brushes that other stuff aside in love and says, no, here's the real need. You need me. And so he came to offer us him. What an awesome, awesome gift. And then with the entrance of him into our lives, not only salvation, but now that one who's going to see us through these things and steady us and guide us and encourage us through each of the fears that come along. He's there for us to cast those cares upon. See, amen. For those who receive Jesus as Savior, he has settled our destiny. Jesus takes the hell component out of death. Now that's awesome. Yeah, unless we're raptured out of here, the time will come, we'll lay aside these old tents. They'll wear out on us, or in some way we'll set them aside, and we don't look forward to that part of it. But see, if you're a Christian, you don't fear what's on the other side. What's going to happen to me? He takes the hell component out of death. He takes away the fear of what's out there, away from us. And what think of that as we sit here. That doesn't have to be part of the process anymore, the thinking about that. He has settled that for good. Paul says that death, where's your sting? You know, hell, where's your bite? Where's your sting? Hell, where's your victory? The victory's in the Lord, he declares. See, we never have to be afraid of our destiny. All of us can have fears, but he, the Lord, is the answer to each one. Well, how does he do that? How does He and all He has for us come into our lives? How do we open this awesome gift? How sad if you were given a gift and never opened it. If the gift's not opened and received it, does the intended receiver no good? So how does that occur? It has been pointed out that the cure for fear, the answer to fear, the opposite of fear is faith. Ultimately, the cure, the way to bring the Lord to bear upon our fears is faith. That means believe His promises. Take Him at His word. You think of how Isaiah learned that. You can just write these verses down if you want. You don't have to turn to them. You can check them out later if you'd like to or be encouraged. But Isaiah 41:10, fear not. This is the Lord speaking, of course. Fear not, for I am with you. Remember I said He often ties those together? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. I'm going to hold you right here. And I know sometimes things get to rocking, but it's okay. And I know things can pull at you, but I'm your glue. See, His presence, if we just have faith in what that means, that ushers into our life these truths. David learned it. Think about David, who was a shepherd, became a king. Psalm 27:1, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Oh, yes, there are those out there who would try to get David. He had many enemies, but he came down and he said, "But who should I be afraid of? I'm yours, God. And you're bigger than all the other stuff. And you're faithful, and you're going to take care of me through it all. You're going to hold me." In Matthew 6, that part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is setting before us the awesome truth of the kingdom and all, he kind of summarizes at one point, Matthew 6, 31 and following, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" Now, he's not making light of that, but that he's saying, don't stay there. Don't be focused on that. Don't buy into that. But yet, so many do, unfortunately. He goes, "Don't be worrying about that. For all these things the Gentiles," read that as unbelievers, after all these things the Gentiles seek. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You, he says, you give me you, I'll take care of you. Now, he's not saying that it's from here on out, it'll be a life, you know, in the jacuzzi at the Hilton eating bonbons. No, in this world you'll have tribulations. But be of good cheer, he says, I've overcome the world. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. And we have victories and we have peace. And he is that glue that holds us together when everything would try to pull us apart. See, again, His presence is the answer. And then with His presence, He ushers into our lives Him and His answers to those things that come along. First Peter declared it, 1 Peter 5:7. He says, "Casting all your care upon Him." Why? Because He cares for you. See, what does unbelief and fear and worry say of our view about God? It says we think somehow down deep we must think He's too small. He's not able to really take care. He's not really out for me at all. But the message of Christmas is hopefully to dispel, break all those doubts, dispel those fears. He's God. He's more than able to take care of you. And His very presence, the message of Christmas, is to assure you that you have His presence and all that He brings along with that. Now again, we go through trials and issues. We're not saying that. But it's the impact they have and the take we have on it. We let them do to us. Many things have the potential to cause us to fear. There are indeed many storms we face in this life. Remember when the disciples were out in the boat in the Sea of Galilee? Storm began to come up. They began to be afraid they were going to perish. What did the Lord say to them? He had to remind them of something. He had to remind them, hey, you guys, have some faith. Have some faith in me. Luke 8:25, but He said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For He commands even the winds and water, and they obey Him. See, he was right there with them. Again, remember his presence? The message of Christmas is God is with us. He was right there with them. And what I have found in my life is Jesus, either he'll either calm the storm or he calms us in the middle of it. He doesn't always just pluck us right out of it, but he's right there to calm, steady, strengthen, oftentimes leaving us in it, to use us in it as well as it in us. But all that awesome way he works. But he says to them, where's your faith? And that's the encouragement. Faith ushers in all that he has. Salvation for those who need to receive it. His provision, his whatever it might be the need. By faith we receive it. So faith is the mechanism by which we receive this cure for our fears. For those of you who have never personally received Christ as Savior, you need to. Make sure you see this as for you. That he came because he loves you that much. And he sees you need something you can't purchase, can't do, can't earn. A gift, by definition, is a gift. You can't earn it. And that's what salvation is. To you is born this day a Savior. The only way you're going to see heaven and have your sins forgiven is to personally receive of it. Not just coming to church or being in a Christian family or something. But receiving his work. Jesus did not come to give us a holiday. He came to give us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And if you've never done that, oh, how he wants you to do it. That's why he went through it all. Why would God become a baby? Why would he go through all the rejection and all that he did? Why would he face the cross? That's his Christmas gift to you. That's how much he loves you. Now your part is to open the gift. Receive it. Admit your need and receive it. As we wrap it up, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner, and receive that work that he has done for you. You got to do it. And do it today. But for those of us who God has touched us and we have received the gift, you're a believer, you're a follower of Christ. For those of us who are truly followers of Christ, look again with me at verses 10 and 11. For I have an assignment for you for just a moment. I invite you to put your name in these verses. Look at verse 10. Then the angel said to, now not out loud, but just quietly in your heart, put your name in there. The angel said to Dale, if I were to be saying this for myself, put your name in there. The angel said to you, don't be afraid, Dale. For behold, I bring you, Dale, or put your own name in there right now, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, but you're part of it, Dale. Are you a people? Yeah. Then this is for you. For there is born to you, Dale, and there's born to you, Susie, and you, Mark, and you, Paul, and you, Karen, and whoever. Oh, yeah. Hope I didn't hit somebody here. But I hope I did. All of you, put your name right there. This is born to you. That's the message. Don't get used to it. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus came to save us. And he came to heal our fears. The message of Christmas is that he is for you, not against you. He's for you and me. And then the entrance into our lives brings him to bear upon all those things. And so we get tempted to look around. He would say, look up. As we get looking around, he bursts through once again and goes, wait a minute, you're mine. And so we look to him. Don't miss God's answer for our fears. His presence, his power, his provision, his promises. I want to close with this awesome declaration of the angel. Look at it again one more time with me. Do not be afraid. Make sure you hear that this morning, each of us. Whatever is going on with your heart, whatever is happening, whatever you're being bombarded with, he's not making light of it, but he's trying to show you him in the midst of it and that he's bigger than that. He's faithful. Do not be afraid. For behold, that means look, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the best gift ever given. I can invite the worship team up to wrap us up. If you need a prayer this morning for any reason, the prayer partners would love to pray with you. As the worship team comes forward, I'd like to take a moment and share this. On behalf of Kathy and myself and the entire staff here at Calvary Chapel, I just want to take a minute and wish you a very blessed and awesome Christmas. And I want to let you know that we thank God for each of you. Your encouragement, your prayer, your support, truly, it's awesome to travel along with you guys. We do indeed wish you a blessed Christmas. Come out and join us this week if your schedule allows. Wednesday night, we gather for the kids, the Christmas medley and all. Promise to be an awesome time. Come out midweek. Take some time out. Come celebrate. Bring the kids along. Come out and watch all this Wednesday night. Then, of course, Christmas Eve, if your schedule allows. Come on out. We're going to have a candlelight service as we celebrate the entrance into this world, the one who is the light of the world. So come out and be a part of that. And lastly, let me just share this. Sometimes I have a little bit of a concern if I mention someone by name, then I leave someone else out, and someone goes, what's wrong with me? But I'm going to risk that for just a moment here and just say this, just in general at least. I recognize that I get to travel with an awesome group around here. So many serving in so many awesome ways. First of all, for the staff of this church, I thank God for them. For those of you who deal with our staff around here, you know that I'm a blessed man for the staff that we have. Of course, I give God thanks for my family and all. I get to travel with them. I want to thank God for this worship team that God has blessed us with. Amen. Good stuff. Constantly, they lift us and lead us in worshiping our God, and I know it pleases Him. But I think I just go out from that. I think of just all the people that serve around here, be they the ushering team, sound team, the greeters. I think of all our teachers. I think of Joe and the high school ministry. I thank God for them. I think of our junior high with the Delmores and everybody that help out there at the junior high level. For Jen, our children's ministry director, and all of them, all of you, many of you are part of that, who teach our children faithfully. Thank God. So many of you, the various outreaches, be it through missionaries or just various fellowships and all we have around here, or various ministries and groups, I thank God for every one of you. I never want to take for granted, and I don't take for granted all of you. So I thank God for each of you. So for everybody, may you have an awesome and blessed Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, it is all about you, and we thank you, Father, for the love. We thank you for breaking through. We thank you for the way you have spoken to us, Lord. And so as we gathered on this morning, help us to once again celebrate in a fresh way all that this is about, Father, your love, the sending of your Son, the entrance of Jesus into our lives and what that means when we receive that most awesome gift ever. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for settling the issues of death and hell and all those, and that we know where we're headed in you and spend eternity with you. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father, that with the entrance of Jesus, Father, we have available your very work. We have your presence and your work, your power, your touch, your provision. Lord, we're just saying thank you for it all. So, Lord, as we head out into our day, help us remember every day we have a reason to celebrate. These things are true every day. Truly, it is good news of great joy, for you have caused there to be born to us a Savior, who is indeed Christ the Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.